Good morning.
It's good to hear all the fellowship. Everybody having a great time talking.
You guys say you can play music again?
Get the attention.
Yeah, let's hope so.
Let me clear my throat.
Break it down, bro.
Yeah, there's our solo right there.
There you go. Guys, you turn your book, turn your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. And this morning we're going to talk about citizenship, being a citizen. Being a citizen is great because, we all want to belong somewhere. We all want to feel like I belong here. I belong somewhere. You know, this lesson here, sometimes, you know, when you're studying out things, you have to ask God, you got to bring this together, because I'm just trying to figure out how all of this works together, God. I'm seeing it in different places, but how does this come together? And, you know, one of the things that I felt like God, the Holy Spirit, brought to mind was, we talk about citizenship, just looking at the world in itself. We have so many different countries, so many different continents. We have so many states and places that, you know, we have citizens there. And I found out that in every country, there are always immigrants trying to get into a lot of countries. Some countries don't have no requirement. And of course, I looked a little different. I'm like, well, why don't you have any requirements? I look like, well, your destination is not necessarily very appealing. So we'll take it. You know, you come in, no restrictions, no requirements. And then some countries and some continents, they have requirements. And they're very strict on about you getting in there. And they're like, in order to be a citizen in our country, you've got to follow these kind of, A, B, C, D, however we lay it out. This is what it takes. I know in America, you're allowed to come into the country for 90 days on a green card, okay? Then, you know, visit. And then there's some other work visas and stuff you can do, too. So they have things worked out that you can come in. But I also found out about America and our country. I love our country great, regardless of its shortcomings, because we're human beings. Mm-hmm. We're the reason why we got through shortcomings. But I didn't know that I do not have to be an American to own property here.
That's right.
So, you know, I'm one of the people get to thinking, why do I have to be, why can I not be an American, but yet I can own property and not be an American? It didn't add up. It's like you say, hey, no, you cannot be a landowner on Donald's land, but Donald said you can buy a property on my land and own land there. Think about that. It's like, it doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah.
But it's just one of the quirky things we have in America. And all countries have their quirky things. Canada, believe it or not, is the most friendly immigration place. They are really friendly to taking in a lot of immigrants.
It's cold.
So I'm thinking, yeah, I'm like, it's cold. they make it kind of easy. I'm like, wow, it's cold. But I found out that as people, we want to be citizens of some place where we're wanted.
Amen.
We're just wanted. We were wanted we belong. We're accepted.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, and citizenship is so important, because if you are a citizen in the right place, that's able to meet all your needs, man. Where you live, it does look better to somebody else who's looking out from the outside. Looking in from the outside. You know, I look at God. God talks always about the kingdom of God, mm-hmm, and how appealing it is. And you know, America, although it is very appealing to a lot of immigrants, to a lot of people, it's not that appealing. It's not that great of a place. I think about other countries. We only get to view countries from whatever the news tells us. We're like, oh God, South Korea. You know, man, it's bad. You know, bad people. That's just all we think, you know. But if you dig a little deeper, you're like, wait a minute, that's a nice part of Korea over there. Wait a minute, I thought they said that country was all bad and all evil. But it's how people portray it. You know, the kingdom of God is not always portrayed in the best of lights. It's not always portrayed that way.
That's right. Come on.
And a lot of this because, thank God for free will, we all develop certain opinions that may not be right.
Yeah.
And our opinions are built on, I heard it from him, who heard it from him, who heard it from him, who heard it from her. The thing's gotten diluted by the time it got to me. It's like just a bad place. But the kingdom of God is an amazing. It just is. What makes the kingdom of God amazing? Key word is surrender.
Amen. Yep.
You can't be a citizen of the kingdom of God unless you are willing to surrender your will. It's the same thing with any country that you want to go into and you want to be a part of that country and you want to place a residence as a citizen in that country. Guess what? You're going to have to surrender your will, and that country's will or that country's law is going to become yours. You're going to have to embrace that culture and that law and what the country is about.
Amen.
And that is so challenging for people when you realize, I love Jesus, I love God, I want to be a Christian, but whoa, we just hit a bump in the road. I've got to surrender my will.
Yeah.
Come on.
Come on. You know, to belong somewhere, to something, it's good. We want to belong. To belong to the right place is even better. Citizen is defined as a natural or naturalized person who owes allegiance, that's a key word, who owe allegiance to a government and is entitled to that government's protection.
Hmm.
Your citizenship is important because it says you belong. But the key thing is, are you willing to give your allegiance to that place?
Right.
Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19 says, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household.
Amen.
How has this household been built? Built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit.
Amen.
Wow. So, you know, when you decide to make the decision and say, you know what, I want to be a disciple of Christ, you're saying, I'm willing to surrender my will. I'm going to pledge my allegiance to Christ and Christ alone.
That's right.
That's it. I will not be divided. With inside of me, my soul, my heart, and I will not be divided. I will not have one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom. I'm not going to either be hot and I'm not going to be cold. I'm going to be either one or the other.
That's right.
That's a decision that you said I'm going to make. And so if you're going to be a part of God's household, you got to embrace surrender.
Yes.
Right.
Let's be honest. A lot of us, we struggle with surrendering. I ain't going out without a fight. It's not going out without a fight. This is how we feel about some things. But why would you fight against God?
Good question.
Who is an immovable force? You're not going to win that fight. You're just not going to win it. But you know us, because we're created in God's image, so we figure we can outthink God. We figure we can outdo God. I can be crafty and get away with it. That's just how we feel. We forget that God is always watching, that he's always looking at every move we make. He looks at how we feel about everything. And man, he's worth every thought that we're thinking.
That's right.
Why would you not want to surrender to a God who created you, who knows you better than you, and he wants to provide for you a place of protection that promotes peace and unity? Ask yourself, are you living like a citizen? Are you living like a citizen of the kingdom of God?
Amen.
Does your life reflect that every day? It's one thing to say it, but it's another thing for it to be shown or to be seen.
That's right.
Not only in your home, but in public. You know, I love my hats. I wear a lot of hats. I'm always trying to find new hats. I'm trying to create more hats.
Yeah.
I just love broadcasting.
Amen.
That I love Jesus. I just love broadcasting that I'm a citizen of God's kingdom, who is the Most High. You know, I think about it when people ask me, I was like, man, it's just like you and you love your favorite sports team. You love broadcasting. I'll tell you, one of the most teams that people talk about and they love is them Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah.
Come on.
I don't care if Dallas is losing. don't care if Dallas is winning. I don't care if Dallas commits the greatest sin in the world. They still gonna tell you, what about them boys? You gonna hear that. They love them Cowboys. I'm like, that is radical. That is radical. You know, we should be just that radical and more radical about the kingdom of God. About being that type of representation for God's kingdom. People should always see, it doesn't matter if the church hits a bump in the road. It doesn't matter if the church is having a hard time. It doesn't matter if the church is having a turbulent season. Guess what? I love my God, I love his kingdom. I love being a citizen of the kingdom of God. You know, I shared earlier about Portland. Love that church. It reminds me, if you're in your Bible, you read, who knows about the breakup between Barnabas and who?
Saul.
Come on. But we'll be like, what's happening? Why are we not getting along in modern day? Why our church is not getting along? We like, this is like new. It's not. Disciples always have times where I just don't agree, man. We're not seeing eye to eye. But it's about how we handle it with one another.
Right.
You see, if we handle it the world's way, we're never going to come back together.
Right.
We're never going to be in the same boat. We're never going to be unified as citizens in the kingdom of God. But you know, if you handle it like Paul and Barnabas, I believe they got back together later on.
Yep.
You got to resolve issues.
Yep.
That's a part of being in the kingdom of God. You got to resolve issues. We may not agree today, but there's always tomorrow.
That's right.
Tomorrow is an opportunity for us to, guess what, reconcile. And that's where we have to view everything. You see, as a citizen in the kingdom of God, it just doesn't need to be talked about. It needs to be seen in your character. Ask yourself, as a citizen of the kingdom of God, what does that look like to you? And also, what should it look like?
Yeah.
You see, it's two different things. You're like, well, it looks like this to me right now. But what should it look like? What should I look like as a citizen of the kingdom in the kingdom of God? Let's stay in Ephesians 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, it says, as a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humbled and gentle. He says, be patient, bearing with one another in love. I love this. Make every effort. He means like you need to go all out to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body,
right.
One Spirit,
right.
Just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all.
Amen.
Wow. The kingdom of God should look like unity. It should look like unity. There should be unity in all that we do. There should be unity in how we move across the land and in the community. We all make up a diverse background, different background. We come from different cultures. We come from different settings. We've been raised different ways, you name it. And we bring it all to the table.
Yeah.
The one thing about me, I'm fascinated. I love to hear what people talk because I love to learn about where you come from, why it's different. You know, why your sausage may be better up north than the sausage down south.
Yeah.
You know, why you do steak different up north than I do it down south.
Yeah.
Why you eating buffalo up in Wisconsin and I'm eating cow down here.
Right.
I just want to know. I want to know what makes it different.
Yeah.
But I see, man, it's about learning. Being unified with people is about learning and understanding where they come from.
Right.
And who they are.
Yes.
And how they fit into the body. They bring something different. We've all heard the message said before, if we all was the same person, we'd get bored after a while, won't we?
Oh, yeah.
I know we would. But I love different people. I love speaking with everybody. I love speaking with Todd. Todd's totally different.
Yeah.
Todd's totally
different.
Yeah, right. But I love speaking with him. He brings something totally different. I'm like, it's just fascinating. Like, wow. It's just amazing. I love speaking with him. He brings that different. You know, Donald has all these jokes. And if you're not quick, you won't catch it. It'll fly by you. And you'll miss it. You'll miss it. I love that, you know. I love that, you know. this thing is amazing, you know. But I just, those are the relationships I love about it, you know.
Yeah.
You know, different cultures bring different things to the kingdom of God.
That's right.
And God is the only one who can bring it all together and make it.
Yeah.
Together.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Only in Christ.
So just because you're from the West Coast and you're a disciple doesn't mean you're different. We still share one body,
yeah,
one baptism, okay, one hope. Just because you're from up north and you're a disciple doesn't mean you're different. We still That's share right. one body, yeah, one That's baptism, right. one hope.
Yep.
We have to understand the things and the rules and the contents of the kingdom of God if you're going to be a citizen of the kingdom of God.
Yep.
Here's a great question for anybody wanting to be a citizen in the kingdom of God. Do you believe in unity?
Yeah. Boom. Good question.
That's a hard fight for some people.
Yeah.
I'm willing to be unified if you agree with me. It don't work that way. But that's how we think sometimes. Okay, I believe in unity as long as you agree with me.
Yeah.
But God said, no, God is the platform for which that's everything right. is unified on.
That's right.
That's where unity is built. What does unity look like to you? And what should it look like? Those are two different questions you really have to ponder. Well, today, this is what it looked like to me. But what should it look like from God's point of view? It goes back to surrender. In order to be a citizen of the kingdom of God or to reside in God's household, you're going to have to surrender if you want to be a citizen.
Yes.
Turn me over to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. A citizen. Everybody wants to belong. Everybody wants to be a part of something and be somewhere. Philippians chapter 3, verse 17. He says, join together in following my example. Brothers and sisters, and just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. For as I have often told you before, and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things.
Yeah. Yep.
But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body.
Amen.
What a powerful encouragement. In your mind, heart and soul, because they all work together. Where is home for you? Paul speaks here about those who are the enemies of God, their mind, their home is the earthly place. He talks about that. He says, earthly, that's not where we live. That's not where we're from. If you're a citizen of the kingdom of God, earth is not your final destination.
That's right.
It is not your final place. But those who live as enemies of the cross, guess what? They embrace earth. They think earth is home. They think earth is, this is it. This is, or it's all going to end at. But God says different.
That's right.
For those who are citizens of the kingdom of God, we are anticipating. We are excited. We are waiting for Jesus to return. Because we know there's a room prepared for me over there.
Amen.
Amen.
This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. Amen, brother. If heaven's not my home, Lord, what will I do?
That's true.
And I love it. Say, you know, the angels are constantly beckoning me from heaven's open door, so I shouldn't feel at home in this world anymore.
That's right.
That's what citizens of the kingdom of God know. That's what they feel. That's what drives their conviction. They realize, this ain't my final stop. I'm just passing through.
Right.
as a citizen, we stay focused on the prize. The prize is the kingdom of God. As a citizen, we follow the great example of God, that is Jesus Christ. As a citizen of the kingdom of God, we exemplify of what Jesus looks like through our daily walk.
Yeah.
Right. That's what we do. Your home should be where God resides. Your citizenship should be where God resides. If your citizenship is not where God is, you are in trouble.
That's right.
You are in trouble. There's a problem. But if you want your citizenship to be where God is, today is always a good day to start.
Yeah,
right.
It is.
Going in that direction.
Amen.
You know, becoming a citizen of the kingdom of God, you know, it requires you have to put a little investment in, a little time in.
Yep.
I wish I could just go on a job that's paying a lot of money and say, hey, I just want to be an employee. Hire me and pay me. It wouldn't work like that. They'd probably throw me out, lock me up security, and if I kept going at it, I'm going to probably be charged with trespassing. There's a lot of people who want to come to the church and say, I'm a Christian, so I should be in. But you can't tell me the first thing about being a citizen of the kingdom of God.
Right.
That's right.
You can't tell me nothing about being a citizen of the kingdom of God. Oh, you probably can tell me the famous scripture. Who all knows it? John 3:16. Who all have heard it before? We know it.
Yeah.
It's powerful. We're not diminishing it. It's powerful. But there's more to God than that.
That's right.
That's what God's trying to tell you.
Yeah.
You know, people are coming to America. Forget the boatload. Forget the cruise ship. They're just coming in. You know, they're coming into America. And I want to let you know, America is very generous. Before this overrun, since they've been overrun by a lot of immigrants, America every year approves 1 million people for citizenship. I did some research on my own, because I know a lot of people get heated about the border, you know, immigration, all that stuff. I know people get heated. I'm like, well, Lord, let's look at this righteously. I'm human too. It can make me mad, you know, people coming in, not doing things the right way. But hold on, I point one finger down, there's three pointing back at me. What am I not doing right today? I have to look at myself. Let's do a self-check here before I go being judgmental and say this ain't right. Okay, I know it ain't right, but let me do some research. I found out we're very generous. We allow over 1 million people every year into the United States.
Mm-hmm.
So what's happening now, it's not only bad for our country, but it's bad for those people coming in.
Yep.
Because they're being misled. Mm-hmm. And they're getting into a country, and it's going to be sad for them. And it's sad for the people who have to administer that law. Now, some people just don't care. Their hearts are hard. They don't care. They'd rather beat you down, be horrible to you. And that's not Christ-like. But there are some people out there who are upholding the law in our country, and it's hurting them that they have to do this. They got put into the situation.
Yep.
But in order to be a citizen in America, you have to follow the rules. You got to do it. You
got
to go through the checks.
That's right.
In order to be a Christian or a citizen in the kingdom of God, you got to go through the channels.
Yep.
You got to do it.
Yep.
We all wish we could just walk in and say, Lord, I'm a Christian. Yeah, I'm here. We all wish that. If we were here when Jesus rolled back the sky and opened up the sky, and you just, oh, Jesus is here today, I'm a Christian today, we wish it was just that easy. Mm-hmm. See, it's not about the physical part, standing and say, look me, physically, I'm a Christian. God wants that heart.
Amen.
God wants that heart. God wants that mind. He said, no, there needs to be a whole shift in how you think about things.
That's right.
Needs to be a whole shift in how you feel about things. Your strength should no longer be dedicated to doing the things of certain things of this earth, of this world, of the flesh, but your strength should be dedicated to serving the things of God, serving the kingdom. And you just can't do that overnight.
Yeah.
You just can't turn around and say, I'm going to do it. No. You're going to have the best time get into the scripture. Somebody's going to have to teach you.
Yeah.
We all look at the scriptures. We all think, oh, look at all these apostles. They were great. Man, they just had it. Jesus just tapped them and they just, oh, they were saints. Nobody. Nope. The jokers have some rough passages. If you ever get a chance to read a book by John MacArthur, it's called 12 Ordinary Men. He did a great piece on that. He breaks those guys down like, you guys weren't all that perfect. They were not all that. They had issues.
Right.
Amen.
Jesus had to really work with these guys. We all know about Peter famously, spontaneous, say whatever comes out of his mouth. It's like, God, this guy's rough around the edge. But Jesus says, you're going to be the point guy. Ain't that something?
Yeah.
Becoming a citizen in the kingdom of God requires that you sit down and be taught. Becoming a citizen in the kingdom of God requires that you respond to God's word. Becoming a citizen in the kingdom of God requires that you have on the right clothes.
That's right.
If you do not have on the right clothes, you will be thrown out. Turn me over to Matthew, Matthew 22.
Yep.
You say, what are the right clothes? What clothes should I be wearing? I dress sharp, I look good. Come on, man, my wardrobe is outstanding. It is outstanding. It is outstanding. But God has no interest in the outer garment. The clothes he's talking about, clothes that should be clothing your mind, heart. So he's talking about that spiritual clothing you should have on. Righteousness. Who all knows the parable of the wedding banquet?
Yep. Yeah.
This is a powerful one.
Yeah.
This is a powerful one. I love this. Jesus has a great plan. And I'm going to read as fast as I can through this, but let's go. Here we go. Matthew 22:1, it says, Jesus spoke to them again in a parable. He's always telling parables so that you can kind of understand. He wants you to relate to him and relate to what's going on with God and God's relationship with his people and how God is trying to get you to connect with him. And it says, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. Okay, talking about Jesus, okay? Here we go. So he sent his servant to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. This speaks to those who are invited, more or less even the Jews, those who God have chosen back then. But now, in this time, we're all been invited.
That's right.
He says, then he sent some more servants and said, tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fattened cattle have been butchered and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet. But they paid no attention and went off. Mm-hmm. One to his field, another to his business, and the rest seized the servants, mistreated them, and killed them. Wow. It says, the king was enraged. Yeah. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burnt their cities. If you love this world, destruction is what you get. Remember that from Philippians, right? What you get? Enemies of the cross. Then he said to his servants, the wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. So go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find. So the servant went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, the bad as well as the good, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. I want to stop right there. So he sends people out to go reach out to people. Find the bad ones and the good ones. Reach them all and invite them into the banquet.
Yes.
So you just, to be a citizen of the kingdom of God, you just can't show up and say, I'm a Christian. There's an invite. There's an invite. And when somebody invites you, they're inviting you on their terms.
Yep.
This is how the banquet's going to go. This is how the party's going to work out. You get an invite. So he'd say, hey, look, we need to get out there and invite people on in. But you know, some people, we know it's called party crashers. But let's see what happens to a party crasher in the kingdom of God. It says, verse 11, but when the kingdom when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. He asked, how did you get in here without wedding clothes, friend? The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of the teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen. You got to have on the right clothes to be in the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
Yep.
You got to have on the right clothes to be in the kingdom of God. God is always inviting. You got to accept the invitation. God is always broadcasting. Hey, there's going to be a big party in the end. Hey, I'm letting you know I'm the way. Hey, I am the truth. Hey, I'm like, God is always inviting. But are you responding?
Come on.
Are you responding? A lot of people are going to try to show up and say, I'm a Christian. They're going to just try to insert themselves in that, knowing that they refuse, like the man who went back to his field. They refuse, like the man who went to his business. You see, everybody don't accept an invite. But when things go down, everybody wants to be in the in club.
Yep.
Being a citizen of the kingdom of God, you need an invite.
Yep.
God is always inviting. We're always inviting. That's why we share our faith. That's why we reach out to people. Turn me to Hebrews 13, 14. You want to make sure that when God comes back, when Jesus comes back, I should say, you want to make sure that you are found to have on the right clothing. Hebrews chapter 13, we're getting close to the end here, guys. We're going to wrap up here. Verse 14. In this verse he says, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 14. For here we do not have an enduring city, but we are looking for the city that is to come. Mm-hmm. Every day in our community, people are looking for that city.
Yeah. Yeah.
We who have already made a commitment to be a citizen in the kingdom of God, we are constantly looking for that city to come. There are people hurting in the community. There are people who are just looking for help. There are people who don't know what to do, where to go. They're looking for that city to come. But the only way they're going to be able to find that city is that we as citizens of the kingdom of God get out there and begin to broadcast. We need to invite them. They need to see our character. They need to see what God has deposited in us. They need to see that light shining in the community.
Amen.
We need to broadcast. We need to invite. We need to let them know that the city that they're looking for and the city that we're waiting for, it is coming and it will arrive and our God will not fail. Finally, guys, turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Citizen of the kingdom of God, we all want to belong to it. We're all trying to figure it out. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You know, I was had a chance to look at College Game Day yesterday, Jackson State. I was encouraged. I was like, look at them. Look at them. And I said, well, look at us. I may be at home watching on TV, but look at us. And it was just so great. And I couldn't help but be so happy for the city in this instance, looking at just, wow, look at what's been done. Dion has done a lot of great things in this time there. Got some great big celebrities. It was good to see Stephen A. He's always outspoken. But it's great to see all those guys there and just all they did at the community. I was like, man, this is just... this is amazing. I thought those JSU alumni are happy to be citizens of Jackson State.
Amen. Yeah.
They are happy to be there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even Southern, they interview some people from Southern, they're like, we're glad to be a part of this. You know, they're like, yeah, we're going to win. I don't think they, from their tone, I don't think, like, you know, they lost bad, but I don't think they cared about it. They're like, this is historic. All right, I can say, we've been a part of a historic moment. ESPN Game Day came here. And I remember ESPN Game Day, they said, you know what? And I didn't know they'd do it like this. I thought that maybe they have like an itinerary planned out where we're going to go. They say every week they have a crew that gets together and look to see what campus is doing what. And they make a decision a week ahead of time and say, we're going to be there. And I thought, wow. They came all the way from Oregon to Jackson State. Their crew drove 2,354 miles.
Whoa.
Just to be here by Thursday to set up. I was like, wow.
Yes.
Man. I'm going to tell you something. When you are radical about your citizenship, when you are radical about your kingdom, where you reside and how great your kingdom is and how awesome it is,
Mom,
people will go to great lengths to come and be a part of it, even if it's for one day. They made a decision to say, we're going to Jackson State. They packed up that Saturday, they pulled out that Sunday, and they drove. The trucks were in the parking lot on Thursday morning. I was kind of like, wait a minute now. I drove it down to 12 hours for like 600 miles. I'm kind of like, that's a lot of drive. But they wanted to be here and bring us to an HBCU.
Amen.
They wanted to be a part of that community in Jackson State that sits in at that time. It should be like that with the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm. Should be.
We should be so contagious to people, so infectious to the community. They're like, look, I would drive all the way from Crystal Springs to worship with you guys. Man, I would drive all the way from Yazoo City. They should be like, we want to be where you guys are at because this is an epic event.
Yes.
I was blown away by that. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let me get there. Verse 5, please. Yeah, verse 5. Chapter 5, verse 15. Going back. Chapter 5, verse 15. And it says, let me get you there.
Yep.
This is bad when you can't read your own writing. See, chapter 5, verse 1. Right too fast. I'm going to have you all over this Bible here. I'm sorry. Chapter 5, still in chapter 5, verse 1. It says, for we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven.
Amen.
Not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling. Because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened. But because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life.
Yes.
Now, the one who has fashioned us for this very purpose is God, who has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. You know, guy, in closing, where is your citizenship? Where are you placing citizenship at?
Yeah.
If you're visiting, so glad to have you here. And I always like to include everybody visiting here also. Are you willing to sit down and see what God has to say? Are you willing to submit an application for citizenship by sitting down and hearing the word of God and allowing God to speak to you? Speak to you, I should say. You have to ask yourself, all of us, who are you submitted to on a daily basis? Who are you more loyal to on a daily basis? God wants us to realize, although we're covered in flesh and we got clothing and everything, he says, you're naked unless you are a part of the kingdom of God.
That's right.
You truly are. You're just naked. You can't fend off nothing. You can't fight off nothing. You can't defend yourself against anything that is attacking you in this world. Because this world that you see, there's a battle going behind in a spiritual realm. And they're very busy. But if you allow yourself to be clothed by God, by his righteousness, by his purity, man, you have a fighting chance. You have a fighting chance. Are you trying to be a permanent citizen here? Or are you trying to be a permanent citizen in heaven?
Yeah.
Citizenship. Value it, take care of it, and protect it.
Amen.
To God be the glory. Thank you guys so much.
Amen. Amen.